over these few weeks of Advent, we're going to be looking at this verse from John chapter 1, the Word became flesh. And this morning, the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. And it's a verse that we know so well. And again, sadly, sometimes we just restrict it to using it at Christmas time, and yet the truths of this verse apply every day of the year, not just for one season, but the great truths of these words apply always to us. The word that's used for dwelling here just is to do with tents and the tabernacle. It's to do with pitching a tent. So it's, in some ways, it points to a temporary thing. It's not the word built a magnificent structure among us, but the word pitched the tent. And many people look at this and see in it, well, this is a temporary arrangement. This is not something permanent. This is not something that will last forever. This is something temporary. And it may help us to understand that when Jesus is born, the expectation is it will be that short life, which will end on the cross, a temporary thing, but which gives way to a greater thing. So part of this is to do with being temporary, but it is connected with the tabernacle. The Jewish listeners who first of all heard John's gospel would have thought immediately of the tent of meeting. Whenever John uses this phrase, made his dwelling among us, they would immediately have thought of this tent, the tent of meeting. Robert read those few verses from Exodus that point to the fact that the tent is filled with the very glory of God. So this tent in the desert is where the glory of God was placed, erected carefully. Every time this traveling nation stopped and made camp, right in the middle of their camp, right in the very center of their community life, the tabernacle is established. They pitch their tent right in the middle of their nation. The glory of the Lord is there, surrounded by His people. So when these folks hear John talk about the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us, they're thinking of this tent. The tent where God's glory is revealed, the tent which is at the very center of who and what they are. And John says, I want you to keep that image in mind. God's glory in the very midst of His people. Eventually, God's people would move on through their wilderness years, arrive in the promised land, and Solomon would build not a tabernacle, but a splendid temple. And if you read through Chronicles, you can read all the wonderful plans for this spectacular temple. It's beautiful, it's majestic, it's glorious. It reflects a lot about the God whom we worship. And Solomon builds that and dedicates it to God. But interestingly, in the middle of his dedication of this temple, Solomon says this, but will God really dwell on earth with men? Is there a place where God's glory can be contained and limited? And Solomon knew that wasn't going to be the temple. It was a place where God's glory was seen. It was revealed, but it was never restricted. Solomon knew when he built the temple, no temple could hold God. No temple could contain His glory. But this was a place in the middle of the capital city, Jerusalem, in the middle of this nation, where God's glory was seen, surrounded by His people. The tabernacle, the temple. And then this baby born in Bethlehem, the Word made flesh. Completely God, completely human. Will He keep it at a distance? Will He stay somewhere comfortable? Will God become involved in the mess of this life? Well, when you look at this baby in Bethlehem, we begin to see some of the answers to those questions. Does God keep his distance? No, he doesn't. Here he is, right in the middle. Does God get involved in the mess and difficulties of this life? Yes, he does. A young girl pregnant, questions about who the father possibly is. Joseph struggles with his responsibilities, his duties, with his feeling of hurt and betrayal. He struggles with all those things, and yet Joseph stays with her. They're forced to travel to Bethlehem by an occupying army. We want a census done. This is not an easy place to live. They end up having to flee to Egypt with this child because of Herod's cruelty. From the very start, Jesus' life is marked with difficulty and suffering. It's not a privileged life. It's not an easy life. Does God get involved in our difficulties, our suffering? Yes, he does. And Jesus is born into the midst of them, made his dwelling among us. We've all heard that lovely paraphrase of this verse from the Message, which simply says the Word became flesh and moved into the neighborhood. Just helping us understand a little bit more of what this means. This is not a God who stays on some hilltop, some cloud somewhere outside and looks at us. This is the God who in Jesus Christ has come alongside us. The Word became flesh. The Word became action. The Word became living. Steve Stockman, one of our PCI ministers, has written a lovely poem that helps us understand a little bit more of what all this might mean, simply called Close Enough to Whisper. The eternal focused on a moment. The voice becomes a listener, the Word becoming flesh and bone. Close enough to whisper. The beyond the world's comprehension moves right into the midst of her. Heaven stoops to touch the earth. Close enough to whisper. Close enough to touch her. Close enough to kiss her. Close enough to be broken. Close enough to whisper. For God so loved the world, he emptied himself to visit her. Came down to walk beside her, close enough to whisper. The eternal focused on a moment. The voice becomes a listener. The Word becomes flesh and bone. Close enough to whisper. It's a lovely picture. This is the God who in Jesus Christ comes close enough to whisper to us, who gets close alongside us, who makes his dwelling, who moves into the neighborhood, who pitches his tent, not miles away, but among us. Where is God's glory? Well, it was in the tabernacle, it was in the temple, and now in this little baby in Bethlehem. The Word made flesh. The Word moved into the neighborhood. The Word close enough to whisper. Here's God's glory. But now that Jesus is no longer walking this earth, that short, temporary life here is finished. Where is God's glory? Tabernacle, temple, Jesus, where is God's glory? Paul helps us by reminding us simply that, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you? So if the word dwelling amongst us made people think of the tabernacle and God's glory there, Paul says, well, you know about the temple, God's glory. That's actually you now. You are God's temple. God's Spirit lives in you. Where is God's glory? In the midst of his people. In the midst of his people. And your calling, my calling, is to put flesh on the word, to be the word in action where God has placed us. Often we can spend time wishing we were somewhere else. If I was somewhere else, I could serve God. If I had other gifts and abilities, I could serve God. And the list goes on. The fact is this, God has placed you and me where he has placed us for a reason. Does God make mistakes? Oh, sorry, didn't actually mean you to be there. I meant you to be somewhere else. No, God placed you where you are for a reason. So that there, in the midst of the people that you rub shoulders with, you can be the Word made flesh. The Word in action. Thursday evening passed. I spent the evening at the Street Pastors Commissioning. It was lovely. Lovely to be there to support Robert McNeely down here, who was commissioned as one of those street pastors. But it was an amazing evening. Just to hear stories, to find out a little bit more of what's going on. And the thing that struck me was, when these folks go out in our streets at the weekends, in the wee small hours around some of the nighttime activity, they're not out there standing in a pulpit. They're doing very basic things. Just keep an eye out. Simple things like lifting broken glass or bottles or glasses that might cause injury. Keeping an eye out for folks who are in difficulty. People who come out of nightclubs, not really dressed for this time of the year, and there they are with foil blankets to keep them warm. Ladies who are on such high heels that they can hardly stand, they bring flip-flops with them so they can get them way home. It's not rocket science. It's just love and action. Love and action. I enjoy the books of Alexander McCall Smith. Maybe you've read some of them. The Ladies' Number One Detective Agency and all that sort of. I enjoy them. One of his characters, the bishop in the church, and he makes this comment. There is always work for love to do. There is always work for love to do. Where has God placed you? Who are the people around you? There is always work for love to do. Simple things. And sometimes they're so simple that we look past them and think, that's not important. We need to be those who are close enough to whisper. Those friendships that we have, the relationships that we have with colleagues that we work with. How will you show God's love in action to them? And the amazing thing listening to these folks at the Street Pastors Night is this, they don't set out to preach, but they just show these small acts of kindness, and invariably people will ask them, why are you doing that? Why are you out here the wee small hours when there's frost on the ground and it's pouring rain? Do you get paid for this? And it's an opportunity not just to show the love of Jesus, but to speak of the love of Jesus. Sometimes we don't step out because we just feel a bit embarrassed and awkward. What happens if they ask me? Let's do those small acts of kindness. Let's put the word in action. Let's show that love where God has placed us. let's be close enough to whisper. Sadly, often the church stands at the sidelines and shouts. And that's often how we're seen. The church which stands at the sidelines and shouts, or the church which retreats into a trench and chucks hand grenades at other people. The incarnation, the Word made flesh, challenges us to get out of our trenches, to walk away from the sidelines, and be among the people where God has placed us, close enough to whisper. The gifts that are under these trees are wonderful. They will make a big difference. It's putting God's Word into action. Just a few weeks ago, 270-something shoeboxes headed off to Eastern Europe. 270 little faces that we put a smile on. We may never see them, may never know them. But the Word has been put into action. As I move around the congregation, I just hear of things that are done. Meals that are left on people's doorsteps when they're having a bit of a hard time. Kindness that's shown. Love in action. There's always work for love to do. Where has God placed you? Your family, your work, the community that you live in. Is God asking you to step out of that comfort zone, to move away from those sidelines and get involved and help people understand what the Word made flesh really means? Jesus simply says, as the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. In the same way that God sent his only Son, so Jesus now sends us out into this world to be the Word made flesh, to be the Word in action, to move into the neighborhoods, to pitch our tents, to be close enough to whisper. May God give us the grace not only to hear his call on our lives, but that grace to step out across the room, across the street, across the community, and show that love of God in Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Father, thank you that you don't make accidents. You don't place us somewhere and then think, oh, maybe I could have done better. Maybe we'll go for plan B. You place us where we are at this time to serve you and to serve each other. Give us the grace not only to hear, but in hearing to be obedient, and in obedience to honor you through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.